As I was thinking about what I wanted to preach on this morning, I was thinking about the trip, and there are some things that I find that are important that I want to share with you this morning, and I appreciate the passage that Larry read for us because it takes all of this into play. But I think all of us as Christians know that God wants us to pray. In the Gospels, we find Jesus teaching his disciples to pray. And on at least two occasions, Luke brings out various parables that Jesus utilized in order to teach the necessity of prayer, persistence in prayer, all of the things that are important about God's people being a praying people. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8, Jesus tells a parable there about a widow. This widow is seeking some legal protection from her opponent. And the judge will not listen to her, Jesus says, because he has these things all the time. But instead, he says it's because of her persistence that he grants her her request. What is most essential in our prayers? Jesus says, as he opens this parable, that at all times we ought to pray. We ought to be a praying people. And not only that, he adds to it, and that we should not lose heart. In other words, don't become discouraged in your prayers. The second one that I want to bring to your minds is found in Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11 follows on the heels of what we typically call the Lord's Prayer. And as you pick up there in verse 5, Jesus tells yet another parable. This parable is about a friend who has another friend come to him and knock on his door at midnight. The other friend says, would you get up and give me 3 loaves of bread, because I have a friend who's come from a distance and I don't have any bread in the house and I want to feed him. Jesus' statement is that the man will not get up because he's his friend. He says, in other words, he's saying, go away. It's midnight. I'm in bed. Kids are in bed. We're all asleep. You should have thought about this. But he says instead, because of his importunity, his audacity that he would even ask for something like this at such an hour, he will give to him as much as he asked. And then Jesus makes this statement that we find, he sets forth the principle that we find in verse 9 of chapter 11. We've heard it before in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, but here in Luke, Luke records it this way. So I say to you, ask. Literally, it is a continual present. In other words, keep on asking and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door shall be opened. And so what Jesus is saying to us is that we need to be a praying people. We need to keep asking. We need to keep seeking. We need to keep knocking. And this morning, what I'm asking of you as my brothers and my sisters in Christ, on behalf of all of those of us who are going to El Salvador, is do that, please. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking on God's door, because he does listen to our prayers and he does answer our prayers. And that is what Paul is saying to his brothers and sisters in Christ in the church at Colossae. He is, as was read for us just a moment ago, he is asking them, pray. Pray for us. And based upon his request, there are 3 things that I want to ask you to be praying for. And it's not just for those of us who are going to El Salvador. It's for all of us who are part of the family of God in this place. 3 things. If you'll notice, after he tells them to devote themselves or to continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. So he tells us 3 things. You are to be faithful in prayer, devoted to it. It's not something that just comes along because there's a crisis at hand, but you're continually to be people of prayer. We are to be people who are watchful in our prayer, constantly paying attention to the things that God wants us to be aware of and thanking him for what he does in answering our prayers. But then he sets forth 3 things that he asks them to pray for. I'm asking you today to pray for each missionary. On the back of your sheet at the bottom, you will notice there is a list of all of those who are going to El Salvador. And before I get further into that, I want to come back to what Paul says. Because Paul is literally saying, pray for us. He says, praying at the same time, verse 3, for us as well. Paul felt that the work in which he was engaged was so important that he wanted God's blessing upon it. But have you ever stopped to realize where Paul is at when he asks for this? He's in prison. He's in a Roman prison. And yet he still wants folks to pray for him. He wants live bodies praying for him. You know, all of those in one family should pray for the successful affairs of others in the family, should they not? You know, I pray for my physical family. I pray, my wife and I pray on a daily basis for our parents, for our siblings, for our children, our grandchildren. We pray for our extended family. We pray for you. And that's just natural. That's what Christians do. But we need those supporting prayers, do we not? We depend upon prayers. I love it when I stand up here and I look right out over here and Gary will mouth the words to me before I stand up to preach, "I'm praying for you." And he tells me that, "I'm praying for you." That means a tremendous amount to me, to know that someone is praying for me. That being said, I'm asking you to pray for each individual that has gone and is going to El Salvador. Not just, "Lord, please be with our missionaries," but take that list, name them before the throne of God individually, personally, and ask God. If Paul felt that strongly about needing the prayers of the saints back in Colossae, don't you think we need it even as much, or if not more? This week, there are going to be 7 men that are going to be preaching in El Salvador. Of those 7, 5 of them are from this congregation. 3 of your elders, Larry Hayes, David Nallen, and Billy Spears, are going to be preaching down there. In addition to those 3 elders, also there is Jim Graham and myself who are going to be preaching each day at one of the congregations that we will be a part of. I'm asking especially for your prayers because they've given me the task again of trying to preach in Spanish. So that always adds an additional burden because it's just not my native language and I don't think in Spanish. I have to work doubly hard to try to make sure I'm doing it right. But not only that, there are also 7 men that have been assigned to deliver a daily devotional for our mission group down there each day. Some of those devotions will be back at the hotel when we arrive back in the evening, but most of them will be out somewhere. We're in country, wherever we may find ourselves. 3 of those men are deacons from this congregation. They are Mike Goodman, Tommy Harden, and Edward Tolan. Please pray for them and the messages which they deliver to us. But don't just pray for those men that I've listed. Pray for each individual on our team. There are women going, there are youth going, and all of them have a part. And so I'm asking you to pray for them. But also, pray for someone else. There are a number that since we first began planning for the trip this year that had intended to go, had signed up, some had even paid to go, but things, health issues have prevented them from being able to go with us. And those you know, they're Reed Field, Ms. Nell Smith. This is the first time and since there's been an El Salvador mission that she has not gone. Butch and Margaret Ann Whiteside. Butch is very sick. He is now at home, but he has spent much of the last 2 to 3 weeks in the hospital. He needs our prayers, and Margaret Ann is missing being able to go, but she is by her husband's side. Debbie Harden may or may not be able to go, depending on the situation with her aunt. And we don't know. There may be others before that time, but pray for them, because I know they wanted to be with us and cannot. The second thing that Paul speaks about us praying for is opportunity. He puts it this way. He says that God would open up for us the King James uses the word door of utterance. Most other translations say a door for the word. I believe that prayer unlocks doors. I believe that God answers those prayers. And I especially believe that he answers the prayers of this church family, because you have prayed for so many things in so many ways, and God has answered those prayers. And you and I have seen the answers to those prayers in the lives of some of our own members right here. And I'm thankful that he hears us and that he responds to our prayers. Paul is in prison, as I said earlier, and yet, if you notice, what's he praying for? He's praying for an open door, not to get out of jail, but he's praying that God would do something else. And the truth is that God can use us anywhere. Some of us can't go forth to these opportunities. You may not be able to go to an El Salvador, but God can bring you opportunities right here in Waverly, Tennessee. And he will if we'll pray for them. God can turn our frustration into triumph. He can give us an evangelistic spirit. But first we have to stop and ask ourselves a question. Are you self-sufficient? I don't need anyone. I don't need God. I can do this. I can go out and study with somebody. Folks, I've been doing this for years, and I don't care who I go to study with. I still pray before I walk into that house, Lord, make me meet for the task that is before me. Give me the wisdom to respond to the questions that will be asked in a way that will best open that heart or hopefully lead that individual to you. Prayer. Do we know how to proceed always in all things? I dare say we don't. There are things that may come to us that we haven't considered before. And yet what Paul is praying for here, he's praying for a favorable circumstance, an open door. Have you ever been around someone that's enthusiastic? I used to hear this statement years ago when I was a teenager. If you act enthusiastic, you'll be enthusiastic. Boy, am I enthusiastic. And then you just kept repeating that to yourself. But enthusiasm tends to breed enthusiasm, does it not? When you're around enthusiastic people, you can't help but be a little enthusiastic. They will pick you up, or you're going to find some way to get away from them if you're just not that type of person. But each Christian is of necessity a missionary. Have you ever stopped to ask where this church would be if someone many years ago didn't come to this town and began sharing the gospel with people around them? There would be no Waverly Church of Christ. There would be no Span Church of Christ, no Husburg Church of Christ, no Wildwood Valley Church of Christ, no McEwen Church of Christ, no Richland Avenue Church of Christ, if someone did not take the initiative and say, I am going to share the Word of God. And oftentimes, it was not always a preacher. It was simply a man that moved in with his family that decided there needed to be a church. And so he took it upon himself to begin sharing. Of necessity, we are missionaries, folks. We share the good news, each one of us. That's what we find in Acts chapter 8. They went as they were spreading out, leaving Jerusalem because of the persecution that arose over the stoning of Stephen. They went everywhere preaching the word. It wasn't the apostles. Most of them stayed back in Jerusalem to continue helping the church grow there. It was the Christians that went forth. But notice what Paul prays for. Paul does not pray for himself. He does not pray for prison release. He does not pray for victory. He does not pray for rest. No, Paul prays for a door. It's not the first time he spoke about a door. In Acts chapter 14, verse 27, there, as they are coming back and telling about their first missionary journey, Luke records that when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all the things that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. God opened the door. They recognized that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9, there again, one of the things that Paul is praying for and seeking is a wide door for effective service. He says, this has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. He says, God's opened a door. They're adversaries, but God has opened a door. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, he makes the point that when I came to Troas for the gospel of Christ, and when a door was opened for me in the Lord. Three times he talks about an open door. Each time he says, God opened that door. I didn't open it. God did. God has the power to open doors, and God has the power to close doors. Doors of opportunity. Increased ability on those who are speaking so that they might speak what needs to be spoken. And the question is, are we alive and aware of the opportunities that God is affording us all around us every day? As I said earlier, the King James translation translates this utterance. It is from the literal word in the Greek, logos, which is a word that means word. And so he's saying an open door for the word. God answered that prayer. Because as you remember, Paul is in prison in Rome. The book of Acts ends with Paul in prison in Rome. And if you look at Acts chapter 28, verse 31, here's what Luke ends that book with. These words, speaking about Paul, preaching the kingdom and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus with all openness, unhindered. God opened a door. And Paul took advantage of that open door. And the thing that Paul was preaching was the mystery of Christ. He says, pray that God will open a door so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ. 20 times in his epistles, Paul uses that word, mystery or mysteries. And of those 20 times, 10 of those are right here in Ephesians and Colossians, the two prison epistles that we are aware of. It's a mystery, but it's one that Paul says has been revealed. And what is that mystery? He says it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. He says simply in chapter 2, verse 2, it's Christ. The mystery is Christ and what God has done through Christ. We are sharing with the world a mystery that God has revealed, what God has done through Christ. So folks, I'm asking you, pray, please, that God will open doors not only for those of us in El Salvador, not just that we might preach His Word and that souls might be saved, but for this church, in this community, and throughout the world. The last one is this. Pray for clarity. Clarity. And what I mean by that is that, as he says, I may make it clear, New American Standard Translation, I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. He says, I want it to be clear, not secret. Paul wants to be accurate in sharing the good news, in communicating with others. And that's what sharing the good news is all about. It's communication, being able to communicate the truth of God's Word. And he feels that he cannot do this correctly without the prayers of the saints back in Colossae. Those kind of prayers help banish any ill motives, wrong motives, to make sure that he's doing it for the right reason. And he wants to be able to state the truth in a way that, as I said, is clear. He wants to meet every question, to proceed in a way that he should go and to have the strength to do it. What am I asking for all of us? Same thing. That God would help us to communicate his word in a clear and persuasive way. There's a language barrier down there. I remember when David Vaughn first went down, first time he went down with us, his Spanish was C-O, yes-O, no-O. You just add O on the end of an English word and you've got Spanish. They didn't know what he was saying. And many of us, when they would ask us a question, we may just nod our heads and really not know what we were saying yes to. And even though some of us have learned a little Spanish, they still speak so much faster than we do. We speak Southern Spanish. They speak much faster Spanish. And we struggle to understand, and they struggle to understand us. Yes, there's a language barrier. So our prayer is for those of us who are attempting to speak in Spanish that we may speak clearly and be understood. For those of us who will be using a translator, that our translators will communicate accurately and effectively the words that we're trying to say forth to those that are there. That hearts and minds will be open and able to understand the message of God's Word. That's what we're asking for. That you will pray for each one going down, that you will pray for the opportunities to be there, that God will open a door of effective service, and that God will help us to be clear in making His Word manifest so that others will understand. We say there's power in prayer and there's strength in numbers. Well, when you put those two together and you've got numbers praying, then there's tremendous power being carried from the throne of God or from here to the throne of God, and God responds to that. And God does want to answer our prayers and accomplish what we want. Our Lord encouraged us, as we noticed earlier in Luke's gospel, not to lose heart, but to pray. And that's what I'm asking you to do. Be persistent in your prayer life. He promised that if we will pray, if we will keep asking, then we will receive. If we will keep seeking, then we are going to find. If we will keep knocking, that the door is going to be opened. And that's exactly what I'm asking of you. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking on the door and asking God to grant us open hearts and open minds in El Salvador and right here in Waverly, Tennessee. Don't stop. Don't quit praying. Don't neglect to pray. But ask Him to make us the church He wants us to be, so that we might accomplish what He desires in this community and throughout the rest of the world. Keep asking in this congregation. I'm asking you, keep asking God to help us bring specific individuals within this congregation to the faith. Ask that His name might be glorified in our lives and in all that we do. Will you pray this prayer with me as we pray for others? Because that's what I want to do, is just keep praying that God will bring forth what He sees and what He desires. That being said, I know that in this audience, there's someone that has never named the name of Christ, never put Him on in baptism, never turned yet from your sin. Why not today? I know there are prayers that have been offered on your behalf. I've been praying for you, if no one else has. Why not today? Why not today turn from the life lived away from God, confess His name, and be buried with Him in baptism? Are you a Christian who's just been wearing the name, but you haven't been faithful in your life? There are those that have been praying for you as well, praying that your faithfulness might be restored, praying that you might once again become a strong member of this congregation, that you might serve God throughout the rest of your life. Those prayers could be answered today if you will respond in obedient faith, asking God to forgive you and to restore you once again. We sing not just to hear our voices. We sing to encourage you. And as we sing this invitation song, I ask you, think about the words and think about what God wants from you. And if you need to respond, will you not come right now as together we stand and sing?